thank you, Dongo, for joining this episode of East is a Podcast, where I am the guest MC, trying to share your wisdom about the CFA Frank. And so it would be great if you could first introduce yourself very briefly for the listeners.
I am Dongo Sambasila. I am a Senegalese development economist, and I work for the Rosalind Sambo Foundation, which is a German political foundation, and I am based in the Dakar office, Senegal.
Fantastic. So thank you so much. So I imagine many of our listeners may have discovered, there is a phenomenon called the CFA Frank. They have heard about it from an unfortunate individual in recent days. Do you mind giving us the context for the new discussion, or we can say knowledge about the CFA Frank?
Well, you know, there are sometimes some mysteries with the social media, and there have been a video from the current Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, talking about the CFA Frank in very critical terms, you know. And this video, which was recorded, I think, 3 years ago, suddenly reappeared on social media, and it went very viral, you know.
Questo si chiama Franco CFA. È la moneta coloniale che la Francia stampa per 14 nazioni africane, alle quali applica il signoraggio e in forza delle quali sfrutta le risorse di questa nazione. Questo è un bambino che lavora in una miniera d'oro in Burkina Faso.
And yeah, I mean, a good publicity to the CFA Frank, you know. People might not like, I mean, the messenger, but at least right. People will appreciate to have the message delivered, you know. And she was criticizing the CFA Frank, saying that this is a colonial currency and France is exploiting African people, and that's why African people are migrating to Europe, especially to Italy, you see.
Right. And so you've published many scholarly articles, technical briefs, and also a book that is at least in French and English and possibly in other languages. About the CFA Frank with a journalist, Fanny Pigeot, from Pronounce.
Yes.
So, do you mind educating our listeners? What exactly is the CFA Frank, and why do we want to remove it from the face of the earth?
Yeah, the CFA Frank is a colonial currency still circulating in 14 African countries. When I say it's a colonial currency, I am not exaggerating, because this currency was born during colonial times in 1945, I mean just after the Second World War, and it was created by the French provisional government under the name Fonds des Colonies Françaises d'Afrique, that meant Fonds of the French Colonies in Africa. So this was a currency created and controlled by the French Treasury at that time to help the metropole, which was devastated by the war, to reconstruct economically speaking. At the time of independence in the 1960s, at that period, there were many, colonial monetary blocks like the sterling area, the peseta zone, the Belgian monetary zone, Esquito zone. All those monetary colonia were, dismantled with the decolonization process, except the CFA franc. Why? Because the French government at that time, they anticipated that decolonization would be inevitable, that African countries would have their independence. But they negotiated and a form of independence without sovereignty. At that time, most of the African leaders in Francophone countries south of the Sahara, except for Guinea, they were trained in France, you know, and they have many, they have good relationships with the French elite, and they belong to the French elite to some extent. And they accepted to sign so-called cooperation agreements in a number of sovereign domains. For example, in the domain of higher education, in the domain of the military, for example, having military, French military bases, in the domain of French trade, French affairs, raw materials. For all of these sovereign domains, there were a set of cooperation agreements. And this included also currency issues. And so for African Francophone countries south of the Sahara, they got their independence conditional on signing those agreements that deprived them of their sovereignty on those sovereign domains, you see. And that's why the CFA franc was maintained, while most of the other countries that obtained their independence started to issue their own currencies, you know. There have been attempts to delink from the CFA franc. The first attempt was Guinea of Sékou Touré in 1960. Guinea was really special because 2 years before, in 1958, France organized a referendum saying to its African colonies south of the Sahara, do you want to have your independence? And all of them said, yes, no, we don't want independence. We want to stay within what they call the French community, except for Guinea. And Guinea said, we want independence. And Sékou Touré was a trade unionist, so he could, organize election, the referendum in a way that would not be, stolen, by the French, because electoral frauds have a long colonial history. And in 1960, 2 years after their independence, they said, well, this framework is too restrictive. We are going out and we will issue our own national currency. And the French government retaliated with a very vicious military operation called Persil. And Persil was an operation aiming at, destabilizing the regime of Sékou Touré. So they trained and supported the opposition to Sékou Touré, and at the same time, the French secret services, they printed false banknotes using their own printing presses, and they poured en masse those false banknotes in the Guinean economy to disrupt it. And all of this is, written in books, and even the mastermind of this operation was interviewed saying that this has been a success. And it was also a message to the other countries saying that if you want to delink, you will face reprisal. There were also the case of Mali in 1962. They delinked from the CFA franc, and the reaction of the neighboring countries, Senegal and Cote d'Ivoire, was to put tariff barriers in order, to put pressure on Mali, which is a landlocked country, you see. There was also the case of Togo. Togo wanted to have its own national currency. They had a prime minister who was, trained at the London School of Economics, and he wanted to diversify Togo's economic relationships, you know. He planned to have a national currency. He created the status of the Central Bank, etc. But days before the launch of the Togolese national currency, he was assassinated in the front of the U.S. embassy in Togo, you know. And since then, there has been no development regarding any attempt to have a Togolese currency. So in the 1960s to the 70s, you have this story of repression against any attempt at the linking from the CFA franc. In 2011, there was, an electoral dispute between Laurent Gbagbo in Cote d'Ivoire, who was the president at that time, and Alassane Ouattara, who was, the protege of France and also former, employee of the IMF, you know, vice president of the IMF. France sided with Alassane Ouattara, and they decided to, to put a financial embargo on Cote d'Ivoire. And this is possible because, you know, there are limits to international sanctions, as we could see with what is happening in Russia. If you have your own currency, your own national currency, no foreign power could tell your domestic central bank to stop, working for you as a government. But this is possible when you are in a monetary union. And so France asked the BCAO to block the Ivorian government access to its own accounts, you see. And they also asked French banks to stop all operations within the country and also all foreign operations as a way to put pressure on the Gbagbo government so that its own populations would revolt against him. At one point, they were starting to, they were planning to have their own national currency to react to that, to these sanctions, and they have been working with neighboring countries. But they could not issue their own currency because the French intervened militarily to oust Laurent Gbagbo, you know. And recently in Mali, at the beginning of the year, they did the same with Mali, because in Mali, there had been a military coup, and the military leaders who are ruling the countries with other civilian people, they wanted, to get rid of the French military presence, and the French did not like that. So they asked again in neighboring countries to organize a financial embargo against Mali. And like in Cote d'Ivoire, the Malian government was divorced from its own domestic financial system, you see. And even the central bank itself organized the default of the Malian government on its own obligations denominated in CFA franc, which is normally impossible, you know. So this central bank is supposed to be independent, etc., from African states, but it's not independent from the French state, you see. So this is a colonial currency that is controlled by the French government, and that could be used against any leader that want to have much more economic, financial sovereignty towards France. And the thing is that all those countries using the CFA franc, without any exception, are underdeveloped countries, really underdeveloped countries. Cote d'Ivoire is the biggest economy using the CFA franc in terms of GDP size, you know. But if you look at the economic indicators, like for example the real GDP per capita, you would see that currently, 2021-2022, the real GDP per capita of Cote d'Ivoire currently is less, something like one third less than its best level it recorded in 1978. That means 40 years ago. That means 44 years ago, people were richer in Cote d'Ivoire than they are now. And it's the same pattern you would observe in the other countries using the CFA franc, you see. So this is a colonial currency. And what I have not said until now is that this colonial currency, well, is shared by two monetary blocks. You have one block in West Africa. It's called the West African Monetary Union, and you have another block in Central Africa with six countries called the CEMAC, the Central African Economic and Monetary Community, you see. And so this is basically the story of the CFA franc, and the organizing principles of this currency have stayed the same since colonial times. Until the 1970s, mid-1970s, the central banks were in Paris. The staff was French. They were French, those who managed the currency. But the headquarters had been moved to Dakar for the West African Monetary Union, and in Yaoundé, Cameroon, for the Central African Monetary Union. Even if their staff have been so-called Africanized, the French seat in those central banks, and they have a lot of power within those central banks. This is a French currency.
Could you elaborate on the developmental effect of the franc, both how it drains wealth from West Africa and Central Africa to France first, and also how it prevents sovereign popular developmental policy?
Yeah. You know, from the beginning, the CFA franc and all the currencies of the franc zone, they were based on, their functioning was based on, and is still based on, four major principles. The first principle is the fixed peg. That means that the CFA franc is pegged to the French currency. That means the French franc until 1999, with the arrival of the euro, you see. The second principle is the free transferability, the free transfer, you know, free movement of capital and income between I mean the each monetary block and France and within each monetary block, you see. The third principle is what is called the guarantee of convertibility. It's a kind of a complicated term, but it's really, really simple. It means that the French Treasury, not the Central Bank of France, the French Treasury is willing to lend its own money, French franc before, now euros, to each of the central banks of the France zone if they don't have enough international means of payments. That's the meaning of the guarantee of convertibility, you know. And in counterpart to that, the French are represented in the organs of the each central bank, you know, with veto power. But now this veto power has been camouflaged within the status, because the status of the, those central banks say that for all major decisions, for all statutory decisions, you need unanimity. And as the French are represented within these central banks, that means that this is a kind of a veto power. Before it was explicit, but now this has been camouflaged. And the second counterpart to the so-called guarantee of convertibility is the obligation for each central bank to deposit a proportion of their foreign exchange reserves at a special account in the French Treasury, at the French Treasury, you see. And those special accounts are called operation accounts. And you know, at the times of independence, 100% of the foreign exchange reserves of the African central banks, let's say African countries, were deposited at the French Treasury on those special accounts. This has been lowered to 65% from the mid-70s, and from the mid-2000s, it has been lowered to 50%. So that means that, for example, let's suppose that you have an export of cocoa from Cote d'Ivoire, selling cocoa in US dollar or in British pound to an importer in the US, for example. The cocoa exporter, well, its bank will receive the US dollars, you know, and the counterpart in CFA franc will be created and credited in the account of the exporter. So the exporter will receive the amount of its cocoa value, US dollar value in CFA franc. But half of the money, half of the, I mean, the amount in US dollar will be deposited at the French Treasury. So that means first, the money will be converted into French currency as a way to support French currency and held in the operations account. And these are the basic mechanisms that organize the CFA franc. So now, with these mechanisms, you can see why this is an extractive system. Because in the CFA franc system, French companies, they are guaranteed that they could repatriate their profits, dividends, and capitals with no exchange rate risk. When we say exchange rate risk, that means that there's no risk that the value of the CFA franc into euros or into French franc before will change. That is exchange rate risk. There's also no transfer risk. That means that, the central banks will make sure that there will be enough foreign exchange to allow for the repatriation of those income, capitals, and so on, you see. And the system of the operation account in itself is a system that is really beneficial for France. You know why? Because whenever the French have to spend for the benefit of the CFA franc using countries, for example, be it development aid or imports, they will just credit the operation account, you see. And whenever African countries spend for the benefit of France, this will be debited, you know. That's how it works. But generally speaking, the operation accounts, they have been in a credit position, you know. So that means that the French treasury during, I mean, much of the six decades since the independence, 1960, they have not provided their so-called guarantee of convertibility. No, it's African countries, African central banks. I would not call them African central banks, but the central banks issuing the CFA franc that have put some money for the benefit of the French Treasury. And those deposits at the French Treasury, they receive an interest rate. But the interest rate generally had been lower than the inflation rate in France. So that means that, let's say that you have an interest rate of 3%, nominal interest rate of 3%, while the inflation in France is, the rate of inflation is 5%, that means in real terms, you are losing 2%, you know. That had been the fate of the deposits of the French treasury, of the deposit of the central bank, CFA central banks, with the French treasury, you see. And there was a Cameroonian economist, Joseph Tujang Puemi, who wrote a powerful book in the 1980, Monnaie, Servitude et Liberté, and who died in very strange circumstances. He was joking, saying that, well, when you face negative returns in real terms, it is as if the Africans, the central banks issuing the CFA franc, were paying the French treasury to hold their foreign exchange reserves, you see. So that means that this is a system that is not costly for the French. It's a pro bono system. That means they are not losing money with this system, because I mean Africans are somehow providing financing their own exploitation. And he was, Joseph Tujang Puemi, this Cameroonian economist, was talking about draining through accounting. So that means that, well, whatever the French want to buy, they could buy it on credit through this operation account, you see. And this has been a very important historical advantage, especially during the times of the franc, the French franc, because the French franc was a very weak currency, you see. And the challenge for a weak currency has been, well, to strengthen it, because we are in a world where the dollar, US dollar, has been king, you know. The former French president and also former French Minister of Finance, Giscard d'Estaing, talked about the exorbitant privilege of the US dollar, you know, at the global scale. The French government has exactly the same exorbitant privilege within, I mean, the CFA franc zone. That means that they could buy all the goods and services by issuing just their own currency, you see. And somehow you could say that whatever they buy for Africa could be offset by also the deposits made at the French treasury by the African countries. So it's really an exploitative system. And this is from the French side, you know. There had been a report, rather honest, published in the 1970s, 1970 exactly, by the French Social and Economic Council, giving an assessment of the franc zone. And in that report, they said, well, the first benefit of the franc zone for French is that French companies have access to stable and non-negligible outlets. And in a world of competition, that is really important. There are some French companies that would not survive world competition without, I mean, the outlets given by the franc zone and its particularities, you see. The second benefit is that French receive, I mean, have the French economy has a trade surplus with the African countries of the CFA franc zone, generally speaking. So that means that those countries are providing foreign exchange to France, you see, through trade with France. But those countries are also providing foreign exchange to France because they also have trade surpluses with other countries of the rest of the world, you see. And those foreign exchange reserves, according to this report, sometimes had been used, I mean, to repay a French debt. This has been written in the report. It's not me saying that, but in the report, because this money I will go to the treasury of the French treasury. It will be used discreetly by the French government, you see. And so this has been a really important advantage. Another advantage is that, well, France could buy all of its import in its own currency. That means that the French do not need to hold US dollar, you know, to buy most of the goods produced, I mean, in CFA franc zone. For example, to buy oil, you should have US dollar, but to buy their oil, they do not need to have US dollar. So this is a way of strengthening, I mean, their own currency, especially in the times of the French franc, which went through 10 devaluation between 1948 and 1986. You see, and another advantage is that, well, with French being represented in the central bank of the CFA franc zone, the central banks, well, the French companies, they have the guarantee that they could repatriate freely their income, dividends, etc., with no exchange rate and transfer risks, you see. And as I said, this is a costless system because African themselves financing their own exploitation.
And can you give us an indication of what the trade flows and the trade patterns looked like between the CFA franc zone and France? Like what kind of goods are
trade? You know, before the times of independence, 1960, the French economy was much more integrated with its empire, colonial empire, than with Europe, you know. But with the European process of integration, this pattern has been altered, you know. France integrated much more with European countries. And so the shares of France, relatively speaking, the trade shares of France in the CFA franc countries has declined, I mean, since then. This has been a growing trend, you know, because with the European integration process, the deal was no more, I mean, colonial barriers. We should have something like, I mean, we should maintain these countries in a neo-colonial framework, but without any discrimination between former European powers, you know. That had been the European agenda since 1960, you know. That means, you will no longer have the sailing area, the peseto area, etc. You will just have the neo-colonial area same level of competition, you know, fair competition between, I mean, European countries, etc. And, you know, from the 2000, you have also China re-emerging, etc. And all of these factors explain that, the French, shares in CFA franc countries' external trade has been declining. The French, they do not buy African goods. I mean, what they buy is just what they need. I mean, raw materials. Oil, you know, cocoa, wood, etc., you know, all those kind of things. But they are not interested in, for example, manufacturing products because you don't have any, I mean, you have some industries, but they are in limited scope because the CFA franc does not allow you to have, I mean, to develop a manufacturing sector, you see. And what is important for France, especially, is to have, captive markets. So there are some French companies for which, I mean, being in Africa is a matter of life and death. And you could see that, the French share in terms of world trade, world exports have been declining, you know. I mean, in the it went something like 6% in the beginning of the 2000 to now 2.8% 2020, you know, according to UNCTAD, United Nations Conference on Trade and Development data. It's 2.8% of global exports. That's the share of France, you know. But when you come, for example, to the West African Monetary Union, the CFA franc countries in West Africa, the French share in their imports is something like 13%. That means that the French trade share in those countries is four times higher than the French share in global trade. So you could see that there are very special relationships between France and African countries using the CFA franc. There are people using, you know, declining trend of French trade shares in this country to say that France no longer needs African countries. This is a tendentious explanation, because the French economy itself has been declining, you know, worldwide, you know, due to the advent of a multipolar world. But the thing is, the French trade shares in CFA franc using countries is still much higher than its share in the world trade, you know. So that is something important. And the thing is that, as the CFA franc is structured, the French don't have any constraint to buy whatever they want to buy in the CFA franc zone. So this is a very important advantage for them. But from the perspective also of African countries, you see, you have two blocks, as I said. In West Africa, you know, except for Côte d'Ivoire, all the other countries, they have chronic trade deficits. That means that they are importing much more than they export, you know. And this is somehow linked to the CFA franc for at least two reasons. The first reason is that, the CFA franc has been an overvalued currency. When we say overvalued currency, that means that this is a currency really that is out of touch, you know, with the basic living conditions of the people. And this is no accident, because when the CFA franc was created in 1945, you know, the CFA franc had a higher external value compared to the French franc. This was done deliberately. You know, 3 years later, in 1948, one CFA franc would give you two French franc, you see. So this was done by design. And when you have such a kind of currency which is overvalued, that means you could buy things abroad because they appear to be cheap. But everything you want to sell abroad is also very expensive, you know. And even, you know, your domestic competition, your domestic products are not competitive, you know. So if you open your economy, your domestic producers will be out-competed. And so when you have the CFA franc, you can't, export, sophisticated products. But you have, a bias towards, buying foreign goods. And that explains that most of the countries that are not producing oil, that are not exporting oil, they have chronic trade deficits. My own country, Senegal, the last time we have a trade surplus, it was in 1967. Countries like Mali, Niger, Burkina, they never experience any trade surplus, you see. And you see also that, when you have trade deficits, that means that you are losing foreign income, you are losing foreign exchange, you know. In Latin America, you see that whenever countries stayed a period where they have trade deficits, sustained trade deficits, or current account deficits, their currency would be devalued or would depreciate. But in the CFA franc, you have the same peg. So how to explain that? The thing is, to have this pattern of trade deficits, current account deficits, and also maintaining this peg, you have to increase your financial dependency, because the central bank has to accumulate a foreign exchange to defend the peg. So that means that in the CFA franc in West Africa, the only way the economies could grow and function normally is through increasing financial dependency. That means borrowing money from abroad and also promoting foreign direct investment. The other way to sustain the trade deficits, current account deficits, and the fixed peg is through rationing productive credit for the economy. You know, CFA franc countries are credit rationed. That means there is no credit for the productive sectors. And I can give you a very telling example. You know, in 2019, The primary sector, which gathers, the agricultural sector, the livestock sector, and the fisheries, they employ, this sector employs something like at least one worker out of two, at least one worker out of two. Yet they received only 23 billion CFA franc of midterm and long-term credit. Maybe if I say that, you cannot realize the magnitude. But the comparison is with the loans the Central Bank of West Africa gave that same year to its 3,600 employees. They received 52 billion CFA franc, you see. So with this example, you could really see who benefits from the CFA franc. You have a large sector, millions of people. They received only 23 billion, 40, if you, something like 40 million euros, 14 million dollar, US dollar, for a whole sector of the economy for midterm and long-term loans. While for only 3,060 people working at the BESIA or the Central Bank, they receive twice more. So you could clearly see who benefit from the system. And Senegal is the country in the CFA franc that is among those who receive more credit than the average. See, so this is a system where there is no financing for productive activity. And activities that could, create exports, they are handicapped by the overvaluation of the currency. That's why you would see that most countries using the CFA franc, they have either stagnated or declined over the long run, like Cote d'Ivoire.
So this is this sounds like a very, very serious textbook case of neo-colonialism. This gives rise to two questions. These will be my last two questions. Otherwise, I could easily keep you here all day teaching the listeners about the CFA franc, but I know that you have a lot of other people to teach about it. So I have two last questions. The first is, why aren't people discussing CFA franc? Why is there such silence about the CFA franc on the left?
This has been an organized silence, and first by the French government. They did their best, throughout the decades, so that no one would talk about the CFA franc. It had been something like a shameful and dirty secret for the French government. It's only from the 2015 like that, that the CFA franc started to be part, of the public discussion, the broader discussion, in Francophone Africa, in the diaspora, etc. Part of the reason is that, the left, the French left, and the so-called progressive media in France, they always sided objectively with their government. And, beyond the CFA franc, you have many military interventions by the French. You have many instances of corruption by the French politicians, by French companies, etc. But they will never talk about that. They will just say that you have dictators, etc. These are not good people, these are corrupt people. But those people, those despots, they are not liked by their own people, but they have been imposed by France. Yet there were only very few voices saying that this is not normal. This situation is called, you talk about neo-colonialism, but there are some people, some comrades, for example, from the French organization Survie, they talk about France-Afrique, and for them, France-Afrique is much more vicious than even neo-colonialism, you see. But except for those few voices, well, no one speaks about the CFA franc. And fortunately, there have been people pushing so that, this issue gets, internationalized, etc. And, since 2019 also, the intra-European contradictions about migratory policy also gave some visibility to the CFA franc. And from an African perspective, this is a welcome development because we need that publicity around this colonial currency. And unfortunately, this came from fascists, you know, and people were much more shocked that a fascist talks about the CFA franc than the CFA franc itself. And I think this says a lot, that people are more shocked by the message of the fascist, you know, than the content of the message itself, which is legitimate, that this is a neo-colonial currency and that is harmful for African countries. So this gives you an idea of how far progressive the Western left is, generally speaking.
Right. So the last question, what is the state of mobilization against the CFA franc in Senegal and more broadly? Because actually, I know there's a ton of political mobilization going on right now in West Africa.
Yeah, you know, there have been, waves of mobilization since 2015. People have started to talk publicly about the CFA, to make demonstrations, etc., you know. And, for now, you know, there are less demonstration, I mean, on the streets, etc., against the CFA franc. But still, there's this desire to break out from the CFA franc, you know. And the positive development, I would say, is that this battle against the CFA franc is now also linked with a battle with military intervention. You know, the Malian government, you know, has ousted the French military, and the French has tried to sabotage them financially before, you know, this was also people mobilized against that, and so they were obliged to stop that. The French cut off their aid to Mali, you know, and it's very likely that the Malian government will issue its own national currency, because you could not say that I want to delink militarily from France, you know. France will no longer be a diplomatic partner, and having your own currency being, managed by the French treasury. So I would say their next move would be to have their own national currency. In Senegal also, we have an opposition leader who said very clearly that, if France does not leave the CFA franc system, he will, issue a Senegalese national currency. And the thing is also that Senegal will start exploiting oil and gas next year. And this could be, a good opportunity to delink from the CFA franc and have a national currency. But the one of the critical thing has been that, you know, there is this Pan-Africanist view that, Pan-Africanism means unity. And unity means, in monetary terms, having a monetary union. And so there are many comrades who do not like, you know, what I call national exit. That means that any country say, I want to exit the CFA franc because this is legally allowed, because countries are part of monetary unions. They have their own, legal documents, you know, and legal agreements. And those agreements say that, any country that wants to leave could leave in 6 months, you know. And so that is technically possible. But most Pan-Africanists, they would say, we don't like that because we don't like national currencies. We are Pan-Africanists. We want a common currency shared by many countries possible, etc. But the thing is, sometimes it's not politically possible, because in West Africa, for example, you would always have Senegal and Cote d'Ivoire blocking any attempt to remove France from the CFA franc system first. So that means that if you want to delink, you have to issue your own national currency. But the other thing is that, the project of having a single currency shared by many countries, this is not necessarily Pan-Africanist, because you take the case of the Eurozone, this has not been designed to create more solidarity between European countries, but this has been designed to discipline governments. This has been discipline for, global capital to exercise its hegemony over national governments. And in West Africa, the current, single project we have for the whole region, the 15 countries, including the 8 using the CFA franc, has been, designed after the euro. And for me, the euro is a neoliberal currency, you know. So that means that, from a critical perspective, we have also to acknowledge that a national exit sometimes is the politically possible strategy, and also, given the current system, the best way to go. And the thing is, having national currencies, you know, does not prevent some form of solidarity, because when countries have their own national currencies, they could trade between themselves without using the US dollar or the euro. They could make agreements to trade in their own currencies or have something like swap lines. That is technically possible. They could also pull part of their foreign exchange reserves so that they could, create some forms of solidarity in terms of foreign exchange management. If Senegal doesn't have enough foreign exchange, maybe Nigeria could help or Ghana could help instead of, going spontaneously to the IMF, etc. You know, and we could also have, common policies to have food and energy, you know, sovereignty, and that is also technically possible. I think those kind of initiatives are much more important. They are politically also easier to do than having, you know, a single currency, you know, that would be modeled after the euro, etc. And actually, this has been the proposal made by the African economists themselves. I mean, those who are knowledgeable of this subject, like Samir Amin in the 1970s, like Joseph Chujang Poemi, and you know, Senegalese also named Mamadou Diarra. So, yeah, that's also my view. We have to delink, through national exit, not out of nationalism, because politically that is what is possible. And also, as long as we are not in a political federation, for me, it doesn't make any sense to have a common currency.
Great. I think that is actually a great note to end it on. So thank you very much for taking your afternoon or late evening. I want to tell all listeners of East is a Podcast to know that they can learn more from Nongo by Africa's Last Colonial Currency, the CFA Frank Story from Pluto. I have a copy. It's an amazing book. Please read it and mobilize against the CFA Frank. And we're going to stop it there. Thank you so much, Nongo, for the session.
Thanks, Max, for the invitation.
Of course.
Thank you very much.